on Washington. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, assessing the George W. Bush presidency. We'll be joined first by retired Air Force General Tom McInerney to discuss the way the administration has prosecuted the war on terror, from the immediate reaction to 9/11 to the buildup to war in Iraq, the successes and mistakes in that campaign, and the later success of the surge. We'll also talk about the influence of Iran and what the next administration will be inheriting as we talk with General McInerney. Also in this edition, the economic legacy. Peter Sepp, Vice President for Communications of the National Taxpayers Union, is here to give us his very mixed review of the Bush administration in terms of tax cuts, much higher spending, and of course the very recent bailouts. And finally, we'll look at the political legacy of George W. Bush. What's his impact on the two major parties and beyond? We'll talk with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. All of that is still ahead in this edition of Dateline Washington. We begin with an examination of the Bush administration's performance on national security, and we begin right now. My first guest in this special edition of Dateline Washington, examining the 8 years of the Bush presidency, is retired Air Force General Tom McInerney. He's also a Fox News military analyst. Obviously, the dominant focus of the Bush administration for the past 8 years has been prosecuting the war against radical Islam. And the general joins me now to assess how the Bush administration has handled this threat since 9/11. And General, thanks so much for your time today.
Glad to be with you, Greg.
Obviously, the focal point of the administration, the focal point of the nation changed on 9/11, and very shortly thereafter, the president put forward a couple of important premises about how this war would be waged. Number one, that either you are with us or with the terrorists. In other words, if you harbor or provide aid monetarily, weapons, anything else to terrorists, you will be considered in their category. How important was that as this war got going?
I think it was very important. And it sent a signal to radical Islam, and particularly when we went into Afghanistan and then into Iraq, that we would assume if you're not with us, you're against us. And although it has been a tougher fight than we thought, we now are seeing the success. We've won in Iraq. Only the new administration can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. I do not think they'll do that just by the leadership they put in their new administration. In Afghanistan, you'll see in 1 to 2 years that we're going to have the same results. Now, the big danger is that Pakistan is the target for radical Islam. When they were kicked out of Iraq, and there's still remnants in Mosul, please understand, but fundamentally they've reoriented themselves to the western territorial areas called the Fatah, the federally administrated territorial areas, in western Pakistan, and then they make these forays into Afghanistan. So they, in fact, their target are the nuclear weapons that are in Pakistan, and that's the one danger we have to be very, very careful about.
We're talking with General Tom McInerney. And General, let's talk about the situation in Iraq now. Of course, at first, about a month after 9/11, U.S. forces, coalition forces, went into Afghanistan. And by the end of 2001, the Taliban had been chased out of Kandahar and essentially out of any sort of role of authority in that country. For much of 2002 and into the beginning of 2003, the administration began to make the case that a preemptive military activity may be necessary to stop what happened on 9/11 from being perpetrated again, either on our soil or on the soil of a freedom-loving nation. The doctrine of preemption obviously became a hot-button issue, not only leading up to the war in Iraq, but ever since then. What's your sense on the president's theory that preemptive military action in some cases is necessary?
Well, I think it is necessary, and we're still going to have to use it. People have been lulled into thinking that, well, we don't have to do that. But the fact is, as I pointed out earlier, the desire for the Taliban and Al-Qaeda to destabilize Pakistan and get their nuclear weapons is extremely important, because those weapons can end up in the United States or in Western European cities or Israeli cities. At the same time, we see what's going on in Iran. And the president has elected not to take action against Iran to destabilize that. But I believe that Iran will be the number one problem in the long run for the new Obama administration. They will have problems. Their immediate problems, I believe, will be the destabilization of Pakistan, but the long-term problem will be clearly Iran, and they're going to have to make some decisions. And it will happen within his administration, either the first administration or if he gets a second 4 years. Something's going to happen, and it's going to be very severe.
General, looking at the military tactics of the invasion of Iraq in March of 2003, military operation started on March 19th. By April 9th, Baghdad was in coalition hands, the statue of Saddam coming down. It's the fastest military progression in world history. How did it happen so successfully?
Well, it was a brilliant stroke of leadership, and General Tommy Franks and Secretary Rumsfeld, they all get credit for it. It was because the military forces were well-trained. We had the right targets. We used what people say, shock and awe. And the fact is with the air-ground team, the stealth technology we have, the precision weapons, fast-moving armored outfits, all made that possible. And because they executed it so well, we were able to do it with a smaller-sized force. But, as we know, we were extremely successful right away. In 21 days, we took down this very powerful Saddam Hussein force. But, again, we then started to face a counterinsurgency situation, which took us a little longer to do than we planned. But, in fact, we've done that. So those that were chortling and saying, see how long it took you to do that, I have to realize that it was only because of we didn't adopt a counterinsurgency strategy early enough that General Petraeus did that enabled us to be so successful as we are today. Did we make mistakes? You bet we made mistakes. You don't select courses of action in wartime with ones labeled mistakes. You select courses of action in wartime that you, in fact, think will work. As it turned out, with the Iranians being a major impetus, plus the Baathists in Syria and that trying to help destabilize the phase four, as we call it, that has taken us a longer time, Greg.
General, you mentioned, of course, that for a number of years after the initial very successful major combat operations, reacting to the insurgency was a struggle, from the Iranian influence to the Syrian influence to indigenous influences like Muqtada al-Sadr and what many called a whack-a-mole strategy of security. It was clear in late 2006, early 2007 that needed to change. You mentioned before that we've essentially won militarily in Iraq. By all accounts, that's a result of a new surge in counterinsurgency strategy, which was designed by General David Petraeus. In a nutshell, why was it so successful?
Well, it was successful because we did two things. We adopted the surge, which put more forces in, which enabled us to clearly take the action and distribute the forces throughout the region. And by doing that, we were able to protect the population. That was part of the counterinsurgency strategy. We protected the people, and so the people were secure, and then they started to rat or out the Al-Qaeda, the Islamic extremists. They started to out them. And when they did that, then it came down much quicker than personally I thought could happen. And that's why General Petraeus will rank along with Eisenhower, MacArthur, Patton, and Grant as one of the greatest military leaders of all time. So by using that strategy, increasing the forces where we could protect the people in the villages, the relationship with the tribal sheikhs that they created, and then finally the increase in forces, all made that strategy successful. But they had to have two things: the increase in forces, and number two, they had to have the counterinsurgency strategy that they were having our military forces living with the Iraqi forces.
We're looking back at the nearly 8 years of the Bush administration waging the war on terror, with retired Air Force General Tom McInerney. And General, right now, we're not the only ones talking about the Bush administration in retrospective. His critics say, yes, the security situation is better, but in the end, there were never any weapons of mass destruction found. So they question whether or not the entire military operation was a good idea, most of them concluding that it wasn't. You obviously have a much different opinion. Why, despite the lack of discovered WMD, do you believe this was the right military decision?
Well, nobody ever says that he would not have reconstituted, because he personally told the FBI agent that was living with them, that is Saddam Hussein, that he would have reconstituted his nuclear and his chemical and biological weapons. So if we had not have done that, he would have reconstituted them. And as you remember, the UN was getting very weak-kneed about the sanctions. We had the oil for food programs, et cetera. So I firmly believe it was the right decision. Yes, it has been tough, but remember, we have this forward strategy, and our listeners must understand this. We have this forward strategy to attack radical Islam, which the threat is, at its roots. Radical Islam was not in Baghdad to the degree that that we found it when it tried to take advantage of the instability that we created once we took the country down. But in fact, when we defeated al-Qaeda, we defeated radical Islam, and now we're seeing the results of that. Could we have done things different by, like, keeping the military up and those things? Yes, we could have, and Ambassador Bremer bears full responsibility for denationalizing the army. But in the long term, the results of having a moderate, and I put that in quotation, Arab government, semi-democratic, in the Middle East is going to be in our interest. There's no question about that. Has it been hard? You bet it has been hard.
General, let's stop here for a quick break. When we come back on this special edition of Dateline Washington, more of the general's thoughts on how the Bush administration has waged the first 8 years of this war on Islamic radicalism. Stay with us.